C2A. Number 15A.
We have considered up to now the first six main tones, and so for the rest of the week we will think about the seventh. And I said that the first six main tones take as many pages as the seventh tone together, so that we have a little bit a kind of a break here between the sixth and the seventh tone. And so I would like to recapitulate the first six main tones, so that there is not too much information left at the end of the week to recapitulate it. And I think we do quite well if we first go over the subject again and see what it implies. We ended yesterday by saying that through structuring the text with the help of the epitomes, we can reduce the text of the textbook first to a few epitomes, each epitome just a sentence, and that we could see that by this method we arrive at new conclusions, namely that the seven main tones are illustrating the word order, and they are laid out in the word order. We have also seen that each main tone then is laid out through seven subtones, that these seven subtones again give a sense of the word order. And then finally we said, is there not something that is fundamental to all those subtones? Do these subtones follow a definite word order? Is the word order there always expressed to the same characteristics? And so we arrived at the law of the subtones, which was on the blackboard and still is on the blackboard. Which means what? Which means that we reduce all the various variations of the word order in those six first and afterwards the seven main tones to just one law, which is again a reduction. And science is always that which tries to reduce infinity to a comprehensible, simple presentation. This law of the subtones would mean what? That if we can see that law that starts out by the first tone, that the very first thing that mind demands is action, is doing something, that the second point and this, but in doing, be aware that you do it in the right direction, and so you must know what is the right and the wrong direction, and so therefore go along the right direction. And soul would always say, and when you go in the right direction, don't be sidetracked, don't go back, persevere in that right direction. Fourth tone would always be that which would say, and if you go into the right direction and are perseverant in it, you begin to demonstrate that in your own life principle. And in demonstrating that in your own life, you have to have the willingness to lay down the false sense of things. That's the point, the fifth point of life. But it says you have to sacrifice the mortal sense of life or you will not really succeed. If we do lay down the mortal concept of life at the point of five, then only that within us that is of the nature of good is then actually activated and practiced, and that establishes within us really our unity with the true man, the atonement with the true idea, man. And if we are, and it all are one with the idea man, then we are all at the point of seven, one with God, and we have the atonement with God. So this is a definite line, which we could see that if we would understand that, and you can see it's a Genesis line, where you start with action, and at the end we arrive at the goal and are one with God. So if we understand that simple law, then that is a guidance for all our subtones. No matter if I then take the subject of mind itself and go through the subtones, or spirit, or soul, or principle, life, or truth, I will always have a guiding line with the law of the subtones that tell me exactly what is the main point in the atonement. I wonder if I have expressed that clear enough, what those subtones or the law of the subtones mean. Therefore, you can see that the whole chapter is further reduced and says, well, the whole chapter I can understand if I see that the main tones run through the word order in an absolute way, the main tone epitome, and every subtone of those seven are running along another law of the word, and this would really then make it rather clear and easy to understand the whole chapter. Now, before we go on, and as long as we still have somehow those first six subjects in mind and can somehow remember things, I want to quickly go through all those subtones along the law of the subtones here. I will just, flow spiritually without really using the text, as in the textbook, but the tonality of it, and just see that this law is constantly guiding each main tone. So, let us start with the first main tone again, and just remember what we have seen there. We remember now that the first main tone said that that if we have our unity with the divine mind, that impels in us the law of atonement, that it impels in us that we are enacted to fulfill the law of atonement. That's a great point. So if you take always these seven here, and if you flow with it and don't write down too much, but because it's all in the book, and just try to get the run of it, the flow of it, the spiritual development of the subject. If you just look at these, this law, then we remember what the law of atonement said. It said at the point of mind, act boldly. Then it said, at the tone of spirit, you remember, act boldly in the right direction, namely a tone man to God, and not God to man, and not truth with error. It said at the point of soul, the third, which says you have to persevere in it, it says stick to that order, and let that order have control over a false order. Do you remember that there? We came then to principle, which says, and that you have to demonstrate wholly, holistically. You have to demonstrate that within you. Jesus did not spare us of saying the whole truth. He said the whole truth. Even if it put the household at variance, but we must see that we have really the demonstration of the whole principle and not only partly that which we like and that which we don't like. It says at the point of five, in that bold action, what is the sacrifice that you have in the five, in point five, that she said that every pang of repentance, that every effort to reform, every sacrifice is necessary so that you will be brought on further on the way of life. And that brought us to the point of truth, which is the at-one-ment with the idea man, and which says, if we do that, that then every effort in life will help us to that man does therefore the will of wisdom. Now suddenly man comes in and shows that in that way man does the will of wisdom, that he is then actually doing that what he is, and establishes within himself the true idea man. Then in the last point of love, that brings us really into unity with love. There it was shown that then we have part in God. So can you hear, if you have those 7 points in the law of the subtone, you just can flow along those and just think out what does it mean under the point of mind as the fulfillment of the law of atonement. Do you remember what we did in spirit? If we don't remember, it doesn't matter. We can somehow calculate it anew. We said the second main tone was that great main tone, which was saying that if you are one with spirit, that spirit impels the spiritualization of men. That we had a great sense that spirit impels spiritualization. How does it do it? And we go again to the 7 points in the law and say, well, first, we must have a sense of action. And so Mrs. Eddy says that we must be moved or enacted by spirit and not by spirits. Spirit then at the second point says, as a subtone, and that you have to do and be moved by the Spirit in the right direction, the right line, namely in the line of spiritualization and not into the line of ritualization. Yes, there are a great passage that shows that ritualistic theology is not that what spiritualizes us, that it's only the spiritual sense that spiritualizes us. Then at the point of soul, that perseverance, that sticking, she said, well, then you have to hold fast to that line. You have to hold fast on your way from matter to spirit and not give in. Then she came to principle, the fourth. She came to the demonstration of it and showed that that demonstration must be principle-like, it must be holistic, must be the whole again, just as in the subtone of mind, that it must be whole, that truth is a center and circumference of all religion. You must take the center and then you have the circumference. It must be a whole demonstration. At the point of life, she shows naturally again that sacrifice that is necessary, where she said that you must put away all the weight that is besetting us so that we can run more easily on the way of life. So put away every material earthly weight. Then you are freer to run towards spirit. At the point of truth, where we have the man's stature always being brought out, always the form of man being brought out, which said, And if you labor along that line towards spirit, then you are a better man, and gives a sense of the better manhood. And as you do that, it comes to the last point of finding our unity with spirit, she says, and if you turn always away, as I have said, from matter, and always turn towards spirit, as I have said, then you will attain the imperishable things of spirit. And you are there. You are one with spirit God. I wonder if that's difficult or not. And you see how if we know the tonality of a law, then we can build it up again and again. All right, let's do soul. We have seen soul, and you remember that soul said that if we are one with soul, then soul impels us to follow, really, that straight line from sense to soul, that we have to undertake that journey from sense to soul. Spirit only has shown the line, the direction. Now soul says, go and do it. You must incorporate that. It must be your own life and your own consciousness. Do it now. So we can say, now, how can we identify ourselves with that straight line going through the wilderness from sense to soul? We can just take mind and say, well, mind must say that we have to act according to that law of soul, that we actually must pursue that course. If I act by going that way, so we add those timetables that are our guide, that we are journeying according to the information of mind, and that I go into the right direction always, that my course is set by mind. I don't go first westward and then eastward and westward and then eastward. I have mind tells me what course to take, and I go and take that course. So the course is set, so to say, and I move on it. Then she takes in the tone of spirit. And you remember, that is the second point, namely, in the line of spirit. What is the line of going from sense to soul? I have to pursue, really, that way with vigorous efforts. I put all my strength into it so that I'm not deviating from that course. And so I have a sense of vigorous effort towards really soul. At the point of soul, you get what? The perseverance in it. It is that paragraph where she constantly says, occupy till I come, do not go back, do not become a sluggard, stick to it, persevere in it, go forward. That the zone of soul, a soul. If you come to principle, it says, well, then that going the way from sense to soul must be demonstrated. It's always the demonstration in us. Therefore it says, don't let somebody else demonstrate it, or don't think somebody else can demonstrate it. There is no vicarious demonstration, no vicarious salvation. You have to do it yourself. You have to demonstrate it yourself and start out doing that yourself. The point of life comes in and says, what are you doing on that way from sense to soul if you actually go that way? Then life always comes in and says, you only can go on and run if actually you sacrifice constantly the false sense of thing. Mrs. Eddy called there the constant sacrifice of the material concept. Bringing us to the tone of truth, if we have sacrificed more and more, there is less and less of the erroneous nature within us, and therefore that establishes, in that way we establish always more what she calls the claims of God. Truth is that which claims always that which is right, and so establishes the claims of God. So that finally at the point of love we find our salvation. We find our unity with God, which at the point of the passage from sense to soul means that we arrived there, which then is called salvation. So we can see salvation is really a wonderful tone of love because we are saved, but salvation also shows that we had had to go away from the opposite of soul, from sense to soul. Yes. Is it difficult? Yeah? No? Well, you see, we have a saying that no master falls from heaven, which means we can't be a master just in one attempt. We mean that we only become a master when we exercise and exercise and exercise. And so naturally you must be aware that in order to flow so easily and naturally in these laws, demands that one has been contemplating and pondering the subject gently and warmly, silently, over many, many years. Again, we can go and see what did we see in the subject of principle. You remember in the subject of principle, we had that our unity with principle is that which enables us to gather within us spiritual power, that would give us spiritual power. And so the question is, how do we get spiritual power of principle? Well, through the subtones we learn how to gather that inward spiritual power step by step. It says at the very first thing, you must do something yourself. You have to go to the revealed text. You have to go to the Bible. You have to go to the original text of the Bible. That's what you have to do. Don't just listen what people tell you about principle. You have to investigate it yourself. So go and investigate the revelation yourself, the revelation of principle yourself. The second point is that we do that along the line of spirit. What is along the line of spirit? That when we investigate it, that we investigate the spiritual sense of the Bible and of the divine principle to find the spiritual interpretation with the spiritual sense, and not, then comes that long exposition, and not go to erudite theology, not to go to spiritualism or to any other human system to ask what is truth and what is the revelation. So it's a great turning away from theology, spiritualism, and turning towards the science of spirit and say, get that revelation yourself spiritually and not theologically, not ritualistically. If you want to demonstrate that spiritual sense of things, then at the point of soul, you have to give an offering. You have to offer the false sense of things. And without that false sense of things, you will never really get the true sense of things. Don't believe that Jesus offered himself and that he spent his blood on the accursed tree, as it was said, and that will demonstrate harmony and heaven in you. Don't believe that. You must be doing it, and you must give these spiritual offerings. So that at the point of principle, we have the demonstration that actually happened within us. It was really there where she said, then the divine is demonstrated in the human. There the divine must overcome the human at every point, and you begin to feel that spiritual power working even on a human level. But in order to do that, you have to be aware of life, the subtone of life, which says that we must drink that cup of sorrowful effort, that this effort to demonstrate spiritual power may not always be easy, may not always be agreeable, but that we must go through experience, that we only can demonstrate the spiritual power within us when we can demonstrate it in face of opposition, in face of something that is opposite. We must, so to say, demonstrate the divine principle in the storm, just as a sailor is made in a storm and not in a bathtub. So here too, that's life. We must face the storm. We must face everything that opposes the demonstration of principle and show forth really that we can stand in the storm. Then comes point six and says, that establishes within you really what she calls the Christ power. And you are the Christ man, and you feel that Christ man as the Christ power, which then afterwards says, can you see that God, at the seventh point, that God is the power in the messianic work? That's how she ended it. Can you see that you are at one with God, because God is doing the demonstration, not you are actually doing the demonstration? That's the point of principle. Yeah? Is it clear? I know you can't say no. Oh. But I ask it all the same.